Please be seated. Well, long time no see. It is really good to be back. And I like what you've done with the place. I cannot tell you how grateful I am for the opportunity I had this summer. Sabbatical means a lot of different things, and I'm not sure that I'll ever be able to fully communicate what this time has meant to me. I'm thankful for the time that you allowed me. I am thankful for our church staff who took over all the day-to-day stuff, for Tom Ledman and my wife Lori who took over all the construction stuff, both donating their time and talent throughout, for the leadership of the vestry who the senior warden told me did absolutely nothing. I'm thankful. But especially for Father Tom and for Madge. Maybe you didn't see it, but they both went above and beyond, and I will forever be grateful to both of them for the gift of this time that they've given me. Now, I promised that I wasn't going to be one of those people who won't talk about anything else except for their recent travels. I'm not going to bore you with all that, nor will I begin every sermon for the next 6 months by saying, when I was on sabbatical this summer. But actually, that's going to begin next week. Because today I do want to tell you a story from sabbatical. It's something that I've thought about several times over the course of the summer, and especially when I read today's gospel lesson, and especially in the context of today, Rally Day. I was staying at a lodge in Wyoming between Yellowstone and the Grand Tetons. And the lodge offered this excursion that I thought sounded interesting. It was rafting the Snake River. Now, before you get too impressed, the Snake River is over 1,000 miles long, and the part that I was going to be rafting was formed from glaciers back during the Ice Age, so it was frankly more of a boat ride than it was a whitewater adventure. I had to go to another lodge to book the excursion and then to ride in a van to the actual raft site. The time, there was a space available on the raft at the time that I wanted to go, so I booked it. But the excursion employee wanted to make sure that I understood, that I knew that everyone else on the boat knew each other. They were all a part of the same tour group. Well, that really didn't matter to me, so I booked my spot. Now, these river guides were incredible. They were so knowledgeable about the river, its history, and the wildlife that surrounded us literally everywhere. They were also incredibly friendly and made a point to try to get to know each person's name. When it came time to board, the guy told us that he needed 5 people up front and 6 people in the back. And I raised my hand and said, you know, I'm traveling by myself, so I'll be glad to be in the group of 5 so that nobody else had to split up. The river guide said, oh yeah, everybody, be sure and meet Steve. Remember, everybody else knew each other except for me. Steve, tell us about yourself. I explained that I was from Florida, that I was on sabbatical, and this whole thing was a bucket list adventure for me. Oh, really, the tour guide said. Sabbatical from what? I'll admit that I thought about saying I was in the insurance business or something like that. But I told the truth. I said, I'm an Episcopal priest. And at that point, you could hear an audible groan from my traveling companions. I mean, it wasn't like I was going to start passing out pledge cards or anything like that. But you see, what I didn't know was that the tour group, the group who all knew each other, my traveling companions, were actually a group of Jewish people from Israel. Jesus. I didn't say that. Now, anyone who knows me knows that I love all things Jewish. I have a great love and respect for the Jewish faith, for Jewish traditions. It wasn't that I was uncomfortable. It was that I thought they were uncomfortable, and who could blame them? They had traveled halfway across the world, and I don't imagine being stuck on a boat for 3 hours with a priest at the head of the boat was in their travel brochure. So I just kept to myself. But there was this one gentleman who I guess was intrigued by me, and he frankly wouldn't leave me alone. In his broken English, he asked me what it was like to be a priest. He wanted to know about my church, my beliefs, my thoughts. He literally peppered me with questions for 3 hours, and I really didn't want to get into all this, but he was persistent, and he just kept prodding me. And before you knew it, we had covered everything from world politics to theology. And he was actually a little impressed with how much I knew about Judaism. I think he was surprised also on how much we agreed about things. And toward the end of the trip, he said, "Father, I've enjoyed our conversation. You're not like most Christians I've met." I knew what he meant, and I considered that a compliment. You see, I think he meant that he'd learned something from me or about me, and I'd learned something from him. I think he meant that I maybe had cleared up some misconceptions that he had about Christians. I think he saw the joy that I have in my faith and my vocation. I think he came to understand that there really are different types of Christians, that some are simply not as judgmental and dogmatic as we sometimes present ourselves. I think he saw that we human beings who occupy this earth really do have more in common than we sometimes think. And all that because he wouldn't leave me alone. Left to my own devices, this conversation would never have happened. Why? Why had I wanted to keep to myself? Well, actually, there's a lot of practical reasons. I was on vacation. And I didn't want to get into all this deep stuff. And I didn't want to say anything that might be offensive or taken the wrong way. And of course, there was a language barrier. But that day, it occurred to me. It occurred to me how often I, and I imagine most of you, miss opportunities to share our understandings of God, of our faith, of our church. Why? Why? Because if the joy of our faith is not worth sharing, then maybe our faith is not as important to us as we like to proclaim. Which brings us to today's gospel. Now, I think that most times when I preach this text, I have focused on this woman who Jesus frankly calls a dog. But the truth is, Jesus doesn't come out looking very good in this story. No matter what hermeneutical acrobatics a preacher uses, that's not where I want to go today. Instead, I want to talk about the other story, the deaf man that was healed by Jesus. Jesus heals this man and then does something that he's done several times. He tells the man and those who witness not to tell anyone. And it's here that I'm going to say something that I've never said from this pulpit. Don't listen. Don't listen to what Jesus has to say. This gospel lesson doesn't apply to you. You see, I stand up in this pulpit Sunday after Sunday and tell you that the gospel lesson is about you. I tell you that the words spoken by Jesus are spoken to you. And I say that because I believe it. But today is different. When Jesus says, "Don't tell anyone," he ain't talking to you. But we act like it sometimes, don't we? We act like we're supposed to keep the whole thing a secret. All of us try to keep the commands of Jesus, and all of us fall short. Yet this command to tell no one is the command that we're usually pretty faithful to. Why? In today's gospel lesson, don't do what Jesus says. Instead, be one of the crowd. Now, that's a statement you won't hear in many sermons. Be one of the crowd who zealously proclaimed what they had seen and heard, what they believed, and the joy and of the power of the one that they followed. It doesn't mean you have to go door to door with religious tracts trying to convert the world. That's not the point. but it means we are open to the opportunities that present themselves each and every day to tell someone we know or that we love what our life in Christ means to us. There was a study that I read this summer by the Alban Institute that stated that only 15% of people who come to a new church do so because of programs or ministries. That the vast majority of new people in a church come because a family member or friend asked them to. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? That's why today, days like today are so very important. And I'll tell you what, after having traveled the country this summer and visiting so many different types of churches, we should be shouting from the rooftops about this place. We should never waste an opportunity to tell of a place where people truly love each other, where we have fun, where we enjoy each other's company, a healthy place where we truly do laugh a lot. We should be zealously proclaiming the joy of a faith where God's love trumps God's laws every single time, a place where doubts and questions don't make us weak, but rather serve as a testament that we really believe the Holy Spirit to be among us and with us even today. Where the opposite of faith isn't doubt, but rather indifference. Indifference to the broken world that surrounds us. We should never miss an opportunity, a chance to tell of this place where, from her beginning, made children and their upbringing foundational. We should tell of this place that tackles the tough questions and embraces the reality that we might not know everything there is to know about God or where God wants to lead us, and that that's okay. We should be a beacon to the world that you don't have to think the same way or believe the same things to have a place at God's table. We have to proclaim the Messiah that we follow, that through us feeds the hungry, gives drink to the thirsty, and heals what becomes broken, that nourishes our own souls with his presence. We have to proclaim that Messiah that redeems and whose primary message is grace and forgiveness, which is the hope of the world. Because, my friends, the world is starving. The world is starving for what you already hold in your hearts. And why in God's name would we be silent? There are times when we act like nothing ever happened. Don't tell anybody, Jesus says. Nonsense. He ain't talking to you. The good news of the gospel is the cross of Christ and that empty tomb. The good news is that we shouldn't be quiet about that. We should believe it. We should share it. We should tell it. And you never know. Just maybe someone might tell you that you are unlike any Christian they've ever met. God love you. Amen.